say about that. Yeah, part of the interest is in how far those sorts of maps are also peopled by the imaginary, you know, the soap opera characters or the people that people don't know but are significant others to them that they hear on the radio or see on TV. And I think, you know, that's also relates to communities.
There's one half out the stairs.
What do you need, Brent?
No, it's all right.
Oh, you need a plug?
No.
It's mine. Anyway, so where shall we go with this? What do we want to do? You're running this event on the 3rd of July, and we've established we're not going to be here then, otherwise I would be very interested to take part. So, have you got any another one scheduled?
No, but I hopefully we'll do one in Deptford at some point.
So would presumably you would be not averse to doing one of these in San Francisco?
No, I would do it anywhere.
yeah, Amsterdam, San Francisco, because again, that's my big overarching, you know, festival of convivial cities. So, in some ways, I was talking to you the other day, actually, you know, why am I not doing this in Deptford? Well, the reason I'm not doing it in Deptford is because I've already done the East End in 2000 with my Festival of Lifelong, and it went on for a whole year, and nearly drove me to the brink of suicide. So, but certainly I'm intending to employ those sorts of approaches, but yeah, spread it to at least two other cities, and you know, I'd like to have not just two European cities, an American one, but you know, Seoul, Hong Kong.
Yeah, we'll have a chat with Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if you're thinking of doing some of this.
Well, I was just thinking, but I mean, I think you know, you should not. Well, if you'd like to go to San Francisco and possibly even do it on somebody else's money, you should say yes, not just talk to Theodore.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, right,
but
okay.
You should talk to him as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Fine. So when might be a good opportunity to do this? Possibly in mid-July or so.
What, here? Or the?
Well, wherever. I mean, I'm happy to talk to him if you think that would be helpful. The next time when it would be possible after the 3rd of July, because we're not here, is mid-July, when we're here for a couple of weeks and then probably going to the States, so maybe we should talk again then.
I mean, my immediate thing is trying to find 20 interesting, diverse people in depth.
Well, provided I'm in the country, I will absolutely volunteer for that, and I could suggest several other people.
Mm.
I mean, to plaited my hair in the past.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to do that than for you to do it, because you would rather stand out a mile if you went into these very all-women establishments.
Well,
but I would talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I would. So if you said to me, I mean, one model for doing it, I suggest, is to say, okay, I used to know the sums on this. So if you invite, I don't know, six people and they each invite two more, or do you want it more random than that? I mean, that's one way to...
No, I think that would be okay, as long as that, yes, that does find...
Reached out. Well, you might want to...
Reaches out rather than, yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, do you want to have, you know, a gender, an even gender split? Is ethnicity... You said you want diverse people.
Diverse, yes.
So you...
Diversity, you can get carried away, can't you? But I suppose broadly, I suppose in an area like Deptford, which is so ethnically and nationally linguistically diverse, I suppose that's
right.
Initially what we're
talking
about.
The best thing is, since
but
we've got so many nationalities represented in shops up and down the street, obviously there's some places you could just go in and talk to the, you know, guy in the hardware store or whatever.
Yeah.
It would, as I say, be a whole lot more difficult for you to walk into, what's it called? Not Marvellous Creations, that's another one of them, but the nearest of the hairdressing salons to here. They thought it was a bit strange when I walked in the first time, I think.
Well, exactly. And if I'm inviting some weird dinner. And also, I suppose it's partly just a matter of time, in that I could obviously just walk up and down and try and have a little chat with everyone in the shop, but off the face of it, you've no idea who even speaks English, and if they do,
so
how much, and if they do speak some English.
So what do you do with
do
the friars? Do you
ideas
just
ideas in their brain, or not really?
Right. And does it cost anything to attend any of these things?
No, we'll try and make it either free or at least cheap. But again, that's something to gauge of personal economy. You know, what value do people get from this, and will they pay? And if they know what they're getting, will they pay? But if they don't know what they're getting in the first place, will they turn up and pay? Probably not. So maybe you need to subsidise the entry to it,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. But those are all those sort of practical issues you need to hone.
Well, again, I think it's also important to think about the basis on which people participate as part of your whole political economy, because, you know, there is always a distinction between the people who've paid to be at a thing, staff room, and the participants. And if you are making that distinction, certainly at a global or a national level, you know, change that's happened in universities is that the students who in my day just really wanted to keep out of the way of their tutors much of the time, and, you know, not be told off for bunking up, whereas students these days tend to be a lot more, you know, I'm paying for this, so I expect something fucking good. I think that if you can do it without any kind of charge to participants, at least to start with while you're developing it, that's better, because you haven't got...
Well, that's it, and then maybe once you've established a sort of brand,
Somebody like Lewisham pays for it, so that again people get their free meal and free conversation or whatever it is, and hopefully it benefits them in terms of community cohesion.
I mean, these things don't tend to work, but yeah, you can try and suggest people pay a minimum donation, and so
what sort of reaction you would get here, because you've got pretty well, yeah, I mean. I think one thing that's quite difficult to do around here actually is guess who's got money and who hasn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was talking to one of the market traders just a couple of days ago, and I said to him, I bet you didn't go, we were talking about only striking a bargain, it was sort of haggling everything I wanted to buy, and I said, I bet you didn't go that town on Deptford Market. And he said, all weather's very, very, it looked like he'd just come back from, you know, southern Spain, and I said, well, you want to be careful, people will think that you're making loads of money, in other words, you know, I'm going to buy this rubbish for ridiculous prices. And he said, I've always done that, always made loads of money, and I bet he has. I mean, he controls, you know, the whole kind of square of the market where he has all these guys sort of holding things up all the time. I can't remember what he's called, Tom or something. Oh, which is this Tom? He seems to be the only one who can actually give prices. They can rearrange things and, you know, deal with the customers, take the money, but he has to decide the pricing.
Right.
But I mean, I assume he's been there for years and years, and obviously just has clearances. Again, it's one of those stores that sells everything from, you know, broken rubbish to occasionally real gems. I got a real gem the other day. Which, I was pleased with it. I generally try not to buy rubbish because I also have a history. Actually, with Brenda, it's an antique dealer in her spare time, and my spare time, and your proper time. So, this has been very interesting. I don't know. Have you got any other sort of things that you questions that spring to mind?
Suppose you could talk forever about Deptford and your connectivity to it, and.
Well, we've only just moved here, really.
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions, I suppose, is one which is very, very general about who knows who in Deptford and who talks to who about what, who doesn't know
who,
what conversations could happen which don't happen.
Right. Well, my friendship network on Facebook and elsewhere is actually largely, but to the extent that it's local, is actually primarily based on the Burning Man community.
Right.
So
that's interesting.
I mean, there's a whole cluster of people around New Cross, Broccoli, and here. And I don't know why, you know, I mean, people that I know didn't move here because it was a burner community. They ended up here and, oops, you know, down the road. So something interesting going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, really, all the people that we see on a regular basis, like socially, that are just, you know, from here, are all burners.
Interesting, right.
They're also astrophysicists and cultural anthropologists and things, but I mean, that's the connection.
Okay.
And I guess you would never, you could look at, if you weren't part of that culture, you could look at, yeah, you could look at my Facebook list, and if you didn't know that that's where they came from, I guess there's no way of guessing it.
No, well, that's sort of kind of fairly fascinating.
Yes, isn't it?
Because it would have people you've met in the desert. In
And indeed people that I haven't, but are friends of friends. So
yes, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if somebody said to me, you seem to have a big, because I went from being very passive, sort of, oh God, you know, what is this about? Do I have to? To suddenly seeing it as, you know, a great sociological tool that I've been trying to invent 20 years ago. And the interesting thing was, so I have policies in my life, you know, I kind of like to have laws about the way that I interact in different situations. And on things like Facebook, I always say yes. I've been faltering a bit recently, for reasons I won't explain, but, you know, that's it. I'm interested in having a diverse and interesting sort of cross-section. But sometimes I get these notes from people saying, do I actually know you? Have we actually met? Because one of the things about the Burning Man community is that most people have flyer names. So, you know, they're called Dave or something. But actually, you know, it's Fairy Twinkle Toes. Fairy Twinkle Toes would be a not atypical sort of one, although usually it's a bit shorter than that. So we have a friend called Howard, whose flyer name is How Weird. How Weird is that? Which is now evolved into, I see he's now signing himself, because I've been, you know, so I changed it to Doctor or Professor Weird, so now he signs himself Weird rather than How Weird.
No, those sorts of networks are very interesting and good for people. Those ones where you get that spread of people that have come together from something that isn't just that interest group
right.
or that. Perhaps hard to establish, I don't know, but you know, stereotypical of what you're hearing around here.
Right.
You've got the Vietnamese.
But I mean, one of the things that I would.
And it's that, what's that weak ties theory of weak ties, isn't it? Gladwell. Is it Gladwell? Granovetter. Yeah, but
Gladwell is Blink and.
Yeah, no, Granovetter, where the most useful contacts to you are not. Of people dissimilar to yourself that operate in a different part of the world, but then how do you know those people in the first place? And it's that having that kind of width, but having some way of relating to them or something to relate to.
Yeah.
Somebody
we were talking to, so I went to the theatre with a burner person that actually I hardly know, but. You know, because we see each other's posts. And anyway, I ended up going to the theatre with her on Friday, and she was saying that she's a lax Catholic, but as it happens, but she said she saw Burning Man as a benign cult. That's how she described it. So yeah, it has instance. I mean, it has some elements of that for sure. Well, I mean, talking of which, I gave you my Facebook label. There is no other Professor Nod Miller, so I'm not difficult to find. And on that, you are John, or are you not on Facebook?
I am actually. Yeah, John Reed. Yeah.
John Reed. How's it spelt?
R-W-E-D. But I don't. I haven't. Yes. It's
You're just a grey blog, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're missing a trick.
Well, I was on Facebook, and then I just got sick of it for a while, and just ditched it basically, and just thought, right, I'm gonna shut down all those. And I'm just going to be me. I'm going to talk to people on the phone and bump into them. But I'm re-emerging on Facebook.
All right. Well,
from the ashes of my former Facebook
self. Well,
I'll
look for you next time I'm on. But if there's 500 John Reeds, then
probably several thousand.
I always then do a refined search. So if you're say what.
Well, I'll look you up.
Okay, well, one way or another, yes.
Let's think
upon that, because I can put you in a group that I was just talking to Rebecca about.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of Deptford project related. connections.
So yeah, so if there are people who you think might you might personally be able to
Yeah, well, I mean, I can certainly think of you know, the Berner crowd, and they're very diverse in terms of their, you know, occupations and appearance and age and all
it's
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But generally, they'll, by and large, be open to something interesting
yeah.
and intriguing, which
so
is what you
a
need.
A sprinkling
too.
Of them.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't want them all there.
Well,
they'd start doing fire.
Well,
and they fire eating
you've
or something.
Actually facilitating nothing but a bunch of people.
Now, there's
like
a thing called Burning Pub, which happens. Once a month, that's, yeah, where